Hey, welcome everyone to the first coaching call for the Author of Change Transformational Coaching Program. I'm Nina Amir, the Inspiration to Creation Coach, and your author coach for this program on writing books that inspire change. And I just want to say I'm so excited to do this. It's been 5 years since I ran this program, and I'm actually working on the book proposal for a related book, and everyone who is part of this program this time has the option of becoming a beta reader for that book, so which means that I will, as the manuscript is being written, I will send you draft copies of the chapters that you can read in advance of anybody else and give feedback. So, you know, that's an option. You don't have to do it, but anyway, I'm excited because, you know, teaching the class again and all of that is inspiring me to keep moving with this project, and I think it's a really important one, especially at this time in history, for us to be putting our words to good use, our written words to good use to inspire change in the world. So I'm very excited, and I want to congratulate all of you for stepping up and becoming part of the program. I firmly believe that what you're going to learn here is going to help you not only author change, so you know, inspire change out there in the world, but help you become a successful author by writing a marketable book and learning how to create a community and build platform, all those things you need to do, as well as to change yourself and learn how to change others. So that's my spiel for this morning. The coaching calls are your time. You can ask me questions related to the webinar that happened last week. You can ask me questions related to last week's homework assignment, this week's homework assignment, which has been posted to the site for you already, or anything at all that you would like to talk about or have questions about or need support on. It can also be I'm struggling to find time to write. It could be, you know, you could be jumping ahead. We are not talking about publishing yet, but you could have questions about publishing. You could have questions about change. Whatever is on your mind, we can discuss. If we can focus on the topics at hand, which were, you know, the topics of the first PowerPoint, which was to find your purpose, mission or cause, and to understand change, and that's what the two homework assignments you have are about, that's awesome because I think that supports you as, you know, we go step by step through the program. But again, questions are open for all of you, you know, to ask whatever is on your mind. This is all about coaching. Now today, I want to take a few minutes for introductions because that doesn't happen on the webinars, and I know it's nice for everybody to meet each other. So I'm going to, if we need to run over a few minutes, that's fine with me. If somebody has to leave, it's okay. Normally I'm going to honor your time and keep this to an hour. But today I want to do the introductions, and then I would like to make sure I answer everyone's questions. So what I would like to do, I don't have anyone on mute, okay? So nobody is on mute right now. If we end up with a lot of noise or echoes or something like that, I will put you on mute. The way to mute yourself if you have background noise is by hitting *6 and then hitting *6 again to unmute yourself, okay? *6 to mute, *6 to unmute. What else? I mentioned about the Facebook page. Please do join the Facebook page and begin, you know, introducing yourselves there and asking questions and starting conversations. Okay, so I see Mary joined us. Hi, Mary. So what I would like to do at this point then is to just have some volunteers of people who would like to introduce themselves. And what I would like you to do is keep it fairly short. I would like you to say your name, where you are located, and what change you want to inspire, and maybe what kind of book you're writing. Most of you are writing nonfiction, but somebody might be writing fiction. So just, you know, if you're writing memoir, straight nonfiction, fiction, whatever. So name, where you're located, what change you want to inspire, and what type of book you're writing. Okay? Who'd like to go first?
Okay, I'll go first.
Oh, and everybody, please, whenever you ask a question or you talk, please say your name. So it's hard for us to always you know who's talking.
Okay. I'm Sarah. I'm in Berkeley, California. I'm using my soundbite to describe what I'm interested in writing.
Awesome.
I hope to help teachers and high schoolers to gain fundamental ecological knowledge and share problem-solving techniques with the rest of the world. Now, a change means really a fundamental change, so getting some hard truths out there as well as this, some of the simplest of solutions that we're overlooking is part of my goal.
Okay.
Actually, three of the books I've already written, but I haven't published them because I don't know how to.
Because you have three books.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I just haven't gotten them.
Okay,
out.
Three books.
I'm gonna blog them now.
Yeah, three books already written. Are you writing one now, or you're just working on these three?
I'm just working on these three. I've got.
Okay. So they're already written.
Years,
and what type of books are they?
They're teachers' manuals of activities to use with kids to teach some fundamental concepts and be able to answer questions they have.
Okay, awesome. Thank you, Sarah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, who'd like to go next?
I'll go next. I'm Joyce Heiser. My husband and I are retired in his hometown of Sioux Falls, South Dakota. And what I want to do is bring more awareness to the other side of retirement planning, because it's not just about the money. People also need to plan the other side of retirement, what their life will look like, what they want to do once they do retire. So my goal is to help people pre-plan so they can live their dream retirement just as I am. And I am living my dream retirement, which is being a published author.
Awesome. And so you have one book, more than one book?
I'm working on my first book.
Okay, so you're writing your first book.
Yep.
And so it's a straight nonfiction book then?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Awesome. Thank you, Joyce. Okay, next person. Okay, do I have to call on people?
I'll go.
Pam. Pam will go. I know Pam will go.
Oh, Nina. Okay. Y'all mute. I mean, what do you call that thing? You know, we're broadcasting me. Okay, well, I'm working on, my name's Pam, and I live in Northwest Florida Panhandle. And I live with my mother, who has dementia and some other heart problems and things, but mainly it's the dementia that we're dealing with. And for you that don't know the story, it's very simple that she was in a senior home and just begged to be let out and said that she could get better if we would just let her have her independence again. So, as I said, we do it. Thelma and Louise down to Florida against half of the family who didn't think she should. They wanted to put her in memory care at that point. Anyway, so we've been down here almost 4 years now, and she's getting progressively better and has a full life. And she still deals with dementia, of course. And but anyway, what I'm writing about, and she's actually, we've been making notes for 4 years, and she's really part of this process of writing. And we're getting ready to publish our blog. What do you call that when you put it out there? And we're also working on a book together, and we're calling it Climbing Dementia Mountain will be from her end, and Climbing Caregiver Mountain will be from my end. And from her, it's really just changing how we look at people with cognitive disabilities, because we tend to put them into homes fairly quickly. And also we just talk, we don't keep them tethered to reality by the way that we talk to them, because we kind of talk around them. And I found the more I talk with my mother, the more she's tethered to reality. It's really helped her that I've just always treated her like she was all there still. And the other, in my end, would be just encouraging family members to keep their elderly at home as long as possible. And I have my mother's neuropsychologist is encouraging us to write a book and just saying that, you know, he and other neurologists are coming to the conclusion that many of the people that we put into these homes, it's way too soon, and they just go downhill very quickly. And another part of my caregiver mountain that I've climbed myself is just how to see myself differently and in what my role is. And That's it in a nutshell. That was it.
Okay. Awesome. Awesome, awesome, awesome. And blog and two books. Great. Thank you, Pam. Okay, who would like to go next? How about Ella?
My name is Ella. I live in the Northwest, Washington State. I write nonfiction. My mission is to create a movement based on a well-published book where people from all backgrounds develop fundamental life skills through a self-healing practice with nature. The homework was very helpful to me. I have a couple of questions about talking points and sound bites.
Okay, we'll get to that for sure.
Okay.
Okay, so you're helping create a movement for people with all backgrounds to develop skills with nature. Was that, was it? I'm sorry, my phone beeped and I didn't get the whole thing.
To develop fundamental life skills through a self-healing practice with nature.
Okay, awesome. I'm writing all these down.
Okay.
So that I remember. Okay, awesome. Thank you, Ella. Okay, so we have had Sarah, Joyce, Pam, Ella. How about Jacqueline?
Oops. Okay.
Who is that?
This is
go
Jacqueline.
Go ahead, Jackie. Go ahead.
Okay, I was born in Washington, D.C., but I currently live in Southern Maryland, which is right outside the nation's capital. I'm working on several books that I didn't realize were almost part of a movement until Nina opened this program up, again, Author of Change. My basic premise of all of my books is that all of us were created by one God. We all belong to one race, which is the human race that God created. And I would just like to see people of all races, cultures, creeds, ethnicities, everything, get along in the world like the Lord intended from the beginning. And so my heart is to, we see a lot of rights now on TV. You know, we have Black Lives Matter and all of that. And all of that, you know, I've had personal experience with that, so I understand the whole thing, being a woman of color. However, I would like to see us move past that and embrace one another as human beings, as God intended. And so I didn't realize until Nina was coaching me on several occasions that each book, manuscript that I'm working on actually does relate to that premise, starting from the very basic book one, which would be a short e-book, all the way up to book four, which is called The Great Experiment. It chronicles my experiences growing up in the 60s and 70s, and it takes a village. Everybody helped everybody. You know, I grew up with Jewish people, white people, people of color, a couple Hispanics, but we all saw each other as one, as people. And we got along well, and everything went well. And so that experience, to me, is something that God allowed me to have to do what he's called me to do today. I hope that wasn't too long.
No, nope, that was perfect. Thank you. Okay. Who is left? Mary was on, and...
Petra, I can go.
Is this Mary?
Oh.
Okay, Mary. Hello, Mary? Who is it is trying to speak? Because I can't hear you.
Well, I said that this was Petra, and I hadn't gone yet, but then Mary said that.
Oh, okay. There you go. I hear you now, Petra. Go ahead, Petra.
I can go. Okay, so my name is Petra, and I live in Crystal Lake, Illinois, which is a suburb of Chicago. And I don't have, like, a specific book that I'm working on, but I've been interested in writing for a long time, and I was going to pursue a degree in holistic medicine, but I recently decided not to do that and to pursue my writing. And so your program, when I saw it, kind of like lit the match for me. And I've always been interested in writing, and writing like essays, and I've written some poetry. And I thought that perhaps somewhere down the road there would be a book. So I'm not really sure exactly, but I do want to inspire change in people to realize that people can live the life that they want for themselves if they're willing to be honest with themselves about what it is, and if they're willing to, like, put in the work to accomplish that. Because I think that we're at a point in humanity where people, you know, the common things, the American dream has changed, and people have been after the same things for so long that some of that doesn't fit people, and people, you know, have the house, and they have the car, and they have the money, and they have the marriage and the kids, but people are still, you know, empty or not happy. So I would like to help people realize that they can create any life that they want for themselves if they're willing to be authentic enough about it and willing to work hard enough.
Awesome. I love that. Great. Thank you, Petra.
Thank you.
Okay, is Mary back on the call? I saw Mary pop in and then pop out. I guess not. Okay. All right, awesome. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, this is 6 of you, so 7. Yeah, so we got almost everybody. We'll have the people who didn't introduce themselves today introduce themselves in 2 weeks, so we all get to know each other. All right, great. All right, so now what I would like to do is just open this for personalized coaching, basically. So again, if we can, if at all possible, stick to the topics that we've covered in the webinar and in the homework assignment, that'd be awesome. But if you have other questions, fair game. Everything that is on your mind, I'm happy to answer. So we'll just take turns. You can ask more than one question if nobody else has one. So let's just dig in. Who has a question for me?
This is Petra. I first wanted to just ask, can you kind of just go over what the homework was from last week? Because I wasn't really clear on it, other than that you said, like, just get on social media and start a website.
No, there's actually a homework assignment that's delivered via the website every week, Petra. So you need to go to ninaamir.com. Excuse me?
Oh, I said, which website?
ninaamir.com/login. And you're going to log in using the credentials that you created when you actually signed up for the course.
Okay.
And that'll take you to the program. And you'll find homework 1 and 2.
Okay.
So
thank you.
If you have trouble with it at all, email me and I'll forward your email to Ruth, who will help you get logged in.
Okay. Yeah, okay. I have a login that worked. I meant to ask you that at the close of last week with what website and where it was. So thank you.
Yeah,
for
okay.
Yes, that.
Everything's there. And I'll make sure when I that I put that in an email. I'll shoot out another email and just mention that.
Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. Okay. Who else has a question?
Well, I do, Pam.
Okay, Pam.
You know, what I'm realizing is that on my specific topic, and I would think I'm not the only one that's going to be facing this, when you're trying to motivate people to make change, but you have a built-in, I don't want to say adversary, but resistance. Like, and me in particular, it would be the, you know, I'll be writing about keeping your parents at home longer. Well, that's not going to go over very well with all these senior homes that have opened up and want people to, you know, have them come to their place.
Right, but you're not writing for the senior homes.
No, I'm writing
for the... So you have to remember,
yeah,
who's
right.
your audience?
Well, here's my other one. Well, you're right about that. I need to... Yeah,
well,
that kind
well,
of
answer
me
my question,
that.
Though.
Let
who's your audience?
That.
Yeah, before you go another
what?
Step,
it's
who's your
audience? Members. It's the family members.
Right.
Some will be the senior themselves because they're still cognitive enough to
right.
realize.
Hold on 1 second, Pam. Somebody is doing something like erasing or rubbing, and it's making noise. If you could either stop or hit *6 to mute yourself, I'd really appreciate it. Thank you. Right, so you just need, first of all, just keep in mind who you're writing for, because the resistance that I see that you're going to get is more from the family members who don't want to be caregivers.
That was my next one. Yes, that's
yes.
The, yes.
So
and I don't
want to. To me, that's your resistance. Yeah. Yes, you'll
you're
have
right.
some pushback
yeah.
from some facilities, but you're not writing for facilities. You're writing for people who are trying to make a decision, either the elderly people themselves or their family members, making a decision about whether they go into a home or not, and so
yes.
you know, into assisted living
yeah.
or whatever it is. So for them, there's different resistance. You need to identify
yeah.
the resistance of those people, and like I said, the caregivers, the family members, their resistance is going to be, I'm not a caregiver, I don't want a caregiver, I don't like having my mother-in-law in the house, or whatever it is,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And so
yeah.
you need to, so and the way to deal with that, because your first question was, you know, I have this resistance, right? So how do I deal
yeah.
with that? You need to really define for them what this could look like and what their options are. And, you know, because, for instance, they could have them live in their house and they don't have to be the primary caregiver. Like my mother has, you know, she had a long-term care insurance policy, so she actually has people who come into her home. They could opt for that, right? If,
yeah.
If that's if
yeah.
what they want to do. So I think it's a matter of saying, yes, I understand. You have to acknowledge their resistance, acknowledge what it is that's stopping them from moving forward.
Ooh.
Say, I understand this, but here are solutions.
I see.
And then raise
yeah.
their aspiration level of caring for the mom, you know, having or having the parent, you know, do better for longer rather than decline very quickly.
Yeah. Okay. I'm writing that down. That's very good. Okay. It changed my whole way of thinking about this.
Yeah. Well, because it's not those facilities. It's the doctors. Doctors are part of your audience. They have to
yeah.
get on board with this.
Yeah, I think they will be for the most part.
Yeah.
Okay.
So if they have resistance, you need to identify their resistance.
Yeah. Tell them
okay.
I understand, and I do. Yep,
yeah,
yeah thank you.
Yeah. Did you have a follow-up because I cut you off?
Not really. I was just going to say I did. I'm in several Facebook groups that deal with all this, with caregivers and the issues they face, and it was really interesting. I just kind of gently put things out there. I'm just more just testing things. I just want to see how people are responding. But I did it in a really innocuous way. But it was real interesting because there's three types of people that are, it seems to me, it kind of falls into three things. And one of them is people who say, yeah, I'm going to do this. I'm not going to like it, and I really don't think I can do it, but I'm going to do it anyway. That's, you know. And then that's the easy ones to encourage. But then you got the one to don't think they can do it. They'd like to, but they can't because of financial reasons or whatever. But then you've got that third ones who are really up in arms about it. They're like, how dare you even think, you people who keep them at home, dangerous, and it's, you know, but it's mostly because they don't want to do it. And I understand
right.
that, too.
Yeah, so
but,
that's what you
yeah.
just have to deal
yeah.
with. So it's
yep,
sort of like
right.
when I do coaching, right? And I say, I mean, Pam has been with me in a couple programs now that have to do with high performance and personal growth, basically. And it's the same as in those sessions when I sort of get at, you know, those are just excuses. Take responsibility for yourself.
Yeah, yeah,
right.
You're right.
But, so that's sort of where you're going to have to go with it.
Okay.
Which
it's okay
it doesn't,
to do that, then.
Yeah, there may be a
yeah.
nicer way to do it that will increase their aspirations to make, you know, take care of their parents as opposed to just saying, you know, take responsibility. Because it's not taking responsibility for the parents I'm talking about. It's them taking responsibility for their reactions.
Yeah, yeah,
or
exactly.
their mindsets.
Yeah. Well, good.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Okay, another question.
My name is Ella. I have a question to please clarify what are talking points. I stated my mission, which I got down to 50 words, but the talking point, is that like a hard sell of what I can offer, like a webinar, a book, and workshops, or is a talking point a support of the problem, the larger problem that I'm addressing?
Okay, so the talking point is, if you were to imagine, you can imagine this two ways. One is you're speaking to you get a chance to sit across from a literary agent and tell them about your book idea. You're going to pitch, okay? You pitch, as you did to me. You tell them what your book is about. And then they say, tell me more. And you want to have a couple things you can say that are in support. So you already said what your mission was. Let me go back to that. Hold on. Okay, so I don't know if I got this down exactly, but create a movement where people from all backgrounds develop fundamental life skills through self-healing practices with nature. That was what I got down, so I'm hoping that's
yes,
pretty
exactly. Funny.
Okay.
Yes.
All right, so so what you would say is that, and then when somebody says, oh, that's really interesting, tell me more, you would have two or three things you could say. Well, I'm going to write a book about this, or you know, or I'm writing a book, or you could say it's really important. I mean, because it depends who you're talking to. For a literary agent, you would revamp this a little bit to say my book offers fundamental life skills through self-healing practice with nature, you know, and you would want to have the benefit in there. So you haven't actually said, I mean, it's a self-healing practice, but we don't actually know what that practice is. So that's number one. You could say, this is the practice. That could be one talking point. My self-healing practice involves blah, 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 blah. You could also
okay.
say, my readership or my audience for this movement is XYZ, and there are this many of them in the world. And you could say, and the benefit to them for taking up this healing practice is blah, 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 blah.
Okay.
Now, if you were to pitch, some of that should be in the pitch. I didn't ask you actually, you know, well, I did say it was kind of like a pitch, but, you know, if you were going to pitch, a literary agent would want to know the audience, right? So you just said
yes.
people from all backgrounds. That's very broad.
Okay.
I would want to say people from all backgrounds who want such and such, and the book will give, you know, provide them a self-healing practice that gives them XYZ benefits, right? So that's how you
okay.
would expand this to be a much more effective pitch. But if you just said what you have here, you could follow it up with, you know, so the other way to look at this is what I was going to say was it's not just about the literary agent. Let's say you're on a radio show and they say, so Ella, what do you do? Well, I provide people from all backgrounds who want such and such develop fundamental life skills through self-healing practice with nature so that they can blah, blah, blah. And then they say, wow, that's really interesting. Ella, tell me more. Now you need 3 points to tell them.
Okay.
And expand on this. Does that make sense?
Yes. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. So, yeah, so it's a way to expand on the conversation. You know, and as I said, most people, if you're talking to just the general person out there, you know, you want them involved with your movement, right? Or you want them to get on your mailing list and be part of your community, whatever it is. They say, what is it you do? They don't care what you do. They only care what's in it for them, the benefit they'll get from what you do, how it relates to them. So your sound bites need to speak to that. I mean, these actually weren't the sound bites. These were just the, you know, the 3 points or so that you're going to say afterwards. But it's still, think in terms of sound bites always, because you want things that are easy to say, easy to understand, easy to remember. But in this case, you know, if you pitched an agent or you were on a radio show, what you want are a couple things you can say that give them exactly what you do and how you're going to benefit them.
Thank you.
Nina, I have
a quick
question.
Yeah, who's
this
speaking?
This is Jacqueline.
Hi, Jacqueline.
Jacqueline.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, are you using sound bites and talking points? Are they interchangeable? They're the same thing, right?
They can be, but no. The talking points, I usually think of talking points in just the way I said to Ella, the way I explained it to Ella. You're sitting across from a literary agent. They say, wow, that's a great book idea. Tell me more. You want two or three things to say. Now, with a literary agent, one of the things you say could be, my platform is this large. Or, you know, I'm a speaker, and so I have and I speak to 1,000 people a week, and so this is part of my platform, right? Because an agent would want to know that. So that could be a talking point for a literary agent.
Right.
On a radio show, they don't care about that. They want talking points that are discussion points, you know, something that will start a discussion, but also that elaborates on what you do.
Okay?
But that said, sound bites are what we use. We use on radio, TV, on the Internet, all those places. It's as if you were taking your main points about your book or your movement or your purpose, your cause, and putting them into little, yeah, everybody calls them memes these days, right? A meme
yeah.
really is a thought virus. It's something that you, that's the way Wayne Dyer used to define it. It's something that you put out there in a way that's it's easily, you know, it's something easily remembered, a phrase, but it also has a meaning to it, right? And so we catch on to it. And so it's easy to share. It goes viral. And so you want sound bites that maybe they're not going to go viral, but sound bites are things that, you know, you hear people say on the radio or on TV that are easily remembered and get the point across very quickly. So you could definitely take each one of your three points and turn it into a sound bite, or you could have other sound bites. But I do think that when you're thinking about the talking points, that you should be thinking in terms of sound bites. Because what if you get on the radio? You don't want to have to say something, you know, take 5 minutes to say it. You want to be able to say it right away in a very short amount of time and have it be memorable. Okay?
Okay, so the sound bite is similar to like a tweet. It's short. And a talking point is an expansion of the tweet.
You could look at that way, yes. You know, I might look at it more like a... you know, all the visuals that are out there, sometimes they're called quote cards, you know, where you put a little saying with a picture, and then all of a sudden everybody's sharing it everywhere because they love what it says.
Right.
Along those lines.
Okay. All right, then.
I mean, these things are somewhat interchangeable. I just think of the talking points as that, talking points. If I had to have a conversation. So a radio show asks for talking points or bullet points. You know, they'll say, give us five, you know, things we can talk to you about. And I think about it in terms of a literary agent who you pitch and then they say, tell me more.
Okay.
But the sound bites, you could take any one of those talking points and turn it into a sound bite that helps support your cause.
Okay.
I hope that's
all
clear.
Right.
I mean, there is crossover between them, Jacqueline.
Okay.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, other questions? Ella, did I answer that for you well enough?
Yes, thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, other questions? Did somebody new join us, by the way, from a European number?
It's Mary too, from Australia.
Oh, Mary, awesome. I saw you pop on earlier and then you went away.
Yeah, I'm just really getting connected.
Okay. You're a little faint, but everybody introduce themselves. Would you like to take a minute and just tell us where you are, what change you're trying to inspire, and what type of book you're writing?
Yes, I've written an online course around the subject, which is about creating me-time spaces for people, for busy people to come back to themselves and just remember and take care of themselves, self-care, and also keep in touch with their aspirations of what they'd like to create in their life. And I'm just taking time to sort of put that into an e-book at the moment.
Okay, and you said you're in Australia, correct?
Yeah, in Perth, West Australia, yeah.
Okay, awesome. You're our... Well, you and Hasina, who isn't here today, she's in South Africa, so you're our faraway people. You all get credit for coming for showing up from the farthest distance. Okay, so it's an online course, and you said it's creating spaces for busy people. There was a word I think I missed in there.
Yeah, it's for people who are very busy and pressured, and like just to find small spaces in their day, like 10 to 15 minutes to just stop somewhere, check in with themselves, maybe make some phone calls they need to look after themselves, which wouldn't normally get done, and that sort of thing.
Got it. Awesome. Thank you, Mary, and welcome. Okay, so who else has questions for me?
this is Petra. I have a question.
Okay, Petra.
So I'm interested in starting a blog, and
I know, like, you guys talk a lot about, like, find, you know your audience and who are you writing for, but sometimes isn't it that, you know, you don't know who your audience yet, who your audience is yet? Like, you'll find them and they'll find you, sort of a thing. Do you automatically know when you start writing, like, who exactly, you know, you're after?
That's what I suggest, okay, because you want to be sure that the people you get stay. You know, the people who decide to follow you or follow your blog stay. And it's this, well, there are two ways to think about it. I mean, you could just write about, you know, a variety of things and just see what sticks, what ones get the most comments or get shared the most or get the most views. That's one way to go about it. But I still would be saying, okay, here are the couple ideas that I have. Okay, so you said that basically you're writing for people who feel, you know, that they've achieved the American dream, but they're still empty and unhappy, and you want to help them create the life they really want by being authentic and working hard, right?
Well, that's just, like, that was just an example. I mean, my thing, like, for the blog, it would be more just to write various, like, I've seen some blogs where people just write, you know, various topics, almost like essays that just interest them or something, you know, that happened in their day, and then they kind of turn it into, like, a parallel, or they make, like, a life meaning out of it.
Yes. So here's
so, you know,
the
like,
problem
one day
with
I might have someone that's, you know, 20 years old that might like that, and, you know, another thread that I make, you know, a baby boomer could like it.
Right. So here's the problem with that, Petra, is that you're not being targeted enough about what you do. A lot of writers have, you know, their author blog, and they're writing about whatever happens in their life and who they went out to lunch with and the experience they had today, and then maybe they're write, you know, about writing their book, and then they went to an event, and it's not interesting enough to hold
anybody's
attention.
Well, no, that's
attention.
Not, yeah. That's
but I mean, even if you're writing
to.
Essays, even if you're writing essays on different topics, the problem is that one person is going to be interested in one topic and another won't. And when the person who shows up who isn't interested in whatever mm-hmm. you wrote about today, they're going to go away and not come back.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very important with a blog to know who you're writing for and what you're going to write for them, what benefit you provide them. Because, again, it's the what's in it for me thing. They show up. You have 6 seconds when they hit your website to capture their attention and keep them there. And if what they read after those 6 seconds isn't something that benefits them, they go away and they do not come back.
Uh-huh.
So it's very important, especially if you want to create change out there in the world. You have a mission, you have a cause, a purpose. You want to have a blog that supports that. And your blog, we're going to talk about this next month, but your blog is your central station, I always say, kind of like a radio station or a broadcasting station of some sort. And from there, you are broadcasting out your message to your satellite stations, which are the all the social media sites and, you know, maybe a magazine or a newspaper or anywhere at all, even your speaking gigs. So you have all these other things, you know, other ways to reach people. But your blog, which is a website, okay, there is really no difference today. That is the hub for all you're doing. And when people show up there, they need to know exactly what you offer them. And, you know, I work with a lot of authors to help them create an author website that has a tagline, because most people don't do this. They have a tagline, and Jacqueline can talk about this, but to have a tagline that actually says what you do. So when they show up there, they go, oh, that's who she is as a writer. This is what she provides me. And then when they scroll down to your blog, that's what they get. That's how you're going to create an engaged community around you that
mm-hmm.
is involved, you know, wants to take on your mission.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense, Petra?
Yeah, that's cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, like, how you have multiple blogs for different things. So, like, let's say, you know, like, part of what I'm interested in is, like, you know, inspiring change in others and for them to, you know, live the life that they want. But then let's say, like, I wanted to have, like, an author website of where, you know, I talk about other things or just more generalities like the essays and this and that. I would really need to, like, separate that into two blocks.
Probably.
Mm-hmm.
What I often do, and Jacqueline has done this with me as well, is I do a career plan with people in order to determine whether you can get everything you want to do on one blog or not.
Cool.
And be effective.
Okay.
So I don't recommend having more than one blog. Now, I have one of my clients, she has three, because she has three things she's doing. And we managed to find a way to get them all connected under one site. So it's three different sites, but they're all connected. And we came up with a tagline and a theme for everything that we tied into. So every site looks the same. Every site has a similar mess. It's different. I mean, she has one that's about horses. She has one that's about aromatherapy for writers. She has one about history. She writes history and mystery. And so, but we've managed to find a way to tie all that together.
Mm-hmm.
So all, when somebody shows up on their site, they know what she does.
Mm-hmm.
Then the ones who are interested in the horses click through, and they're on a different site, actually, with a different blog. It's still
mm-hmm.
actually about essential oils to some extent. But in any case, to make the story short,
she ended up
needing to have three blogs. I don't recommend it because the way blogs work, the reason a blog is so effective is because every time you write and publish a blog post, Google or Bing or Yahoo, whoever, they come along with their little bots and crawlers, their automated programs to index or catalog your new content. If you have no new content, they don't show up. But the more often you write and publish a blog post, the more often they show up and index it, and that lets the search engine know what you write about. If you write about a whole bunch of different things, they don't ever get it, and you will be on page 1,500. But if you want to be on page 1 or 2, one is better, you have to write about the same thing day in and day out so Google gets it. What that does for you is it not only pushes you up to the first page of Google, it means that when somebody searches for something related to your topic, they find you. So I always tell the story about how to blog a book, where I blogged for 4 to 5 months about how to blog a book, blogging books, blog to book deals. It was all the same thing. And in 4.5 months, I had the number one spot on the number one page of Google because they figured it out. Now, I was lucky. There weren't a lot of other people writing about the topic. So my search terms worked pretty well. But the point is that you need to be very specific about what you're writing about, and it's better when you start blogging to write more often, you know, to publish more often in a very consistent basis, on a consistent basis. So I usually tell people, you know, try to write, you know, a minimum of once a week. That's really the minimum. Better would be 2 to 3 times per week in order to gain that status and to get some followers. Most people don't want to do that. And so then when you end up having 2 or 3 blogs, like my client or like me, it becomes very hard to keep it up. There were a lot of years where I was writing more than 5 posts a week to keep up. And it's hard work. And I just dropped down from 4 a week to 3 a week, and it is still really hard work. So I just caution you to really think about it before you get going and try to have a plan. And try to know who you're writing for and what you want to write about and get those people to your site. If you are going to split off into more than one website, more than one blog, try to keep it to 2 so that you can write consistently. Okay?
Yeah, that was very helpful.
Okay, yeah. And I don't mean to really, you know, come down hard on you. It's just that this is a big issue. It's a big issue, and people who've heard me talk about this know I'm always saying don't do more than one blog unless you have to. But sometimes
I don't really want
to.
Yeah, I never really envisioned having more than one. I don't really want to. I just wasn't really clear on that. But, no, I appreciate the clarity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and as we get into the, you know, community building and platform building modules, you can bring this up again. Well, you can bring it up anytime you want to. But, you know, I'll probably talk about it again because the blog and the website really are the hub of everything you do to create your movement, everything.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
So give it a lot of thought. Okay, that was a lot of time on that one, but it's a good topic, important to everyone. Who else has a question for me?
Nina, can I make a quick... Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Pam.
Go ahead. I've already spoken, so you go ahead.
Go ahead, Jacqueline.
Oh, I just wanted to add to what you were saying, too. I think it was Petra just now. I really highly recommend, if you haven't done it so already, to allow Nina to coach you on the branding and the blog, because I'm kind of doing what you're doing, and she really helped me to clarify it. I think it's considered my tagline is one people, one world, one intention. Okay, so that allows me, if I'm going to blog two or three times a week, my blog is not up yet like yours, then I can blog stories about people and how they interact. And then the next blog post can be about how people interact within the world, okay? And then the next blog post would deal with the intention that we are all one. And that allows me enough room. It's almost like an umbrella title, if you understand what I'm saying. It allows me enough room to blog on different, not really subjects, but topics that are all related to the main topic, if you follow what I'm saying.
Yes.
So Jacqueline, thank you for sharing that. It took a little while for us to get Jacqueline's tagline because she has a lot of different books she wants to write.
Uh-huh.
And at first glance, they don't look related. But her mission was very clear, and once we looked at it, we could say, okay, if you write the books in this manner, then they all fall under this same, you know, heading or tagline.
Okay.
And then you can. Then what we do in this, she did the career planning with me. We then came up with a blog plan where you can actually, as she said, kind of rotate between topics, so that you're actually touching on the different topics of your, not only your current book, but your forthcoming books, and keeping
mm-hmm.
people engaged in, you know, everything you're going to write about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you, Jacqueline.
Yes.
You're welcome.
Okay. Pam, did you have a question?
I did. Based on what you were telling the other person about the blogging, you gave me an idea, and I think we've talked about this before. You've talked about it. The going into other blogs that have your target followers following them.
Mm-hmm.
See, do you look at what headline they're using? Because they've figured it out. Some of these people have obviously figured out what the keywords are that Google recognizes, but also that people continue following them. Is it what their headlines are on each?
You mean to, in terms of kind of using them as a resource to figure out how to do a better job of blogging on your end?
Well, when you were talking about blogging the book, your first book, and you were doing mm-hmm. how to blog a book, so you would use that same thing. It had was that in your it's not the headline. What do you call it? The topic for each blog post. Did you always have those exact words?
No, not well. Not always, but in a lot of cases, you know, it might have been blogged a book deal instead of blogging a book.
But you still use the two word block.
Blogging
words,
a book, yeah, as much as I could, for sure.
Yeah.
Now you can go look at other websites. If you have, there are developer tools that. I don't know because I leave this to my developer who is actually a search engine optimization expert as well. But there are tools that will allow you to figure out the keywords being used by a successful site.
Yeah, trending, yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah. Well, not even trending. Hold on, I'm just going to look at something. How to find keywords. All right. Okay, well, so I just put in something and I found, you know, how to find competitors' keywords. So I think that's what I would put into Google. How to find competitors' keywords. Yeah, so, you know, view competitors' keywords, something called spyfoo.com, 25 sneaky online tools and gadgets to help you spy on your competition. So there are ways to do that, to actually find out what keywords they're using. On the other hand, you can just look at their titles and look at the subtitles, the subheadings, you know, in their blog posts.
Mm-hmm.
Because if they're using a plugin, so if you're using WordPress, which I hope everybody will use WordPress.org, not WordPress.com, which is free, you can use plugins. And there's a plugin I always recommend called SEO, like Search Engine Optimization, by Yoast, like Toast, but with a Y, Y-O-A-S-T.
Mm-hmm.
And it will help you optimize your blog posts. It gives you feedback on how well you've done, and it gives you a place to write what they call a snippet, which is a little description of the blog post, and to pick a keyword for your blog post, all those things. And when you do that, it's going to improve what you're doing. I can't remember why I brought that up. Anyway, I lost my train of thought. In any case, something like that is going to help you. And I know what I was going to say. If other people are using this plugin, which I'm sure they are, you're going to see some keywords in there. Because the thing is that Yoast will say your keyword is in your title, but it's not in the first paragraph, and you didn't use it in a subheading. So see, if you were to look at the head, their title to their blog post and see that keyword, find a keyword in there and notice that it's also in the first paragraph and it's also in one of their subtitles or subheadings, you might be able to figure it out on your own.
Yeah. Interesting. Okay, great.
Tool also, by the way, for doing headlines, and I use it for all kinds of things, not just for blog posts. It's free, and it's by a company called CoSchedule. Like coschedule.com. If you go to coschedule.com/headline-analyzer, you can put your headlines in there and it'll tell you whether your headline's any good.
Ah, wow. Very good. Thank you.
You just don't get stuck there. I have a client, he spent hours there trying to get all his scores over 70. And, he was so excited that everyone was over 70. And then I came along and picked them all apart. And I was like, doesn't tell me anything about your blog post. So be careful there.
Yeah. Okay, good. Thank you.
Yeah. Other questions?
Why do you recommend WordPress.org rather than .com?
Okay, who's talking?
Sarah.
I'm sorry, who? Oh, Sarah. Because WordPress.com, any of the free sites, now WordPress.com, let me just say it's free, but you can upgrade. But when you upgrade, you don't have any choice about who is hosting your hosting your blog or website, or about the rules on your site. They're making them. They restrict how many plugins you can use, all that kind of thing. Also, if you don't renew exactly on time, they're going to charge you more. But bigger issue than that really is that the way I always describe it is if you host with a free company like WordPress.com, you are driving your traffic to a condominium complex where you have one unit. If you use WordPress.org, which, yes, is a little more technologically, it's just the setting it up on a hosting company that's a little more difficult. But if you use WordPress.org, you have bought hosting and you have set up your URL, your home in cyberspace, and it's only your home. All the traffic you drive goes to your residence and your residence only. You are the only one who lives there. And not only that, because if you go with the free one, if you go with WordPress.com, you're in this condominium complex where the condominium, maybe it has a, governing board, but somebody else is making the decisions about how things are run there, what you can do, what you can't do.
Mm-hmm.
When you use WordPress.org and you've purchased hosting and set up your site in cyberspace, your home in cyberspace, you make all the rules.
Cool.
Now, on the free ones, you also usually can't do advertising. It can be more difficult to set up your email marketing system, which you must have. It will be harder to, you can't necessarily run ads. You may not be able to do a membership site if you want to do courses and things like that. So it's much more restrictive. And in my experience, when you move off of the free sites to your own, you get more traffic. And it's all coming to your residence, not to someone else's.
Okay.
Okay?
Thank you.
Yep. I'm fairly adamant about that. However, let me just qualify that, Pam. I am adamant about it, but if you cannot afford hosting, which, by the way, is only $99 a year, if you can't afford the hosting, you don't want to do it that way, you're not technologically advanced and can't get somebody to set it up for you, then use free until you can afford to do it the other way. In my experience, it costs you more to start free and then go to so it's called hosted or self-hosted. So it's either hosted by someone else or self-hosted by you. So to go from hosted to self-hosted is more expensive than just starting with self-hosted, because somebody has to move all that content for you later and recreate your site. Okay, Pam, you had a question?
I do. So the people who start their blogs on a Facebook page, you know, they already have a Facebook personally and they just make another page. I know a lot of people are doing that. Excuse me.
That's not a blog.
So it's a web page and you have your blog on that page, correct?
Well, if it's Facebook, it's just Facebook. It's not a blog.
Huh.
And I do not recommend that you put all your content somewhere like Facebook. That be your primary website, because if Facebook decides to change their algorithms or change their rules or they go out of business,
your content is
gone.
Oh, good point. So the Facebook, maybe what I'm looking at are people's author pages that are on Facebook. Maybe that's what I'm seeing. Definitely.
Highly recommend that you have either an author page or a business page or a page for your movement.
Okay, and then your blog is on WordPress.org.
Yeah, and then, we're going to get into this again next month. But, yeah, so see, because your blog is your home station, right? So you write your blog
post
there. It has a message that you're wanting to get out. So what do you then do with it? You take the URL from that blog post, and you share it on Twitter and on Facebook and everywhere else.
I got it finally.
If you were to go to my Facebook page, not my profile, my page, you will see that my blog posts are all shared there. I used to share them on my profile. Then I realized my family and friends didn't give what I had to say in my blog posts.
Huh.
So even though I have way more followers on my profile, I don't share that stuff there unless maybe I'm promoting something. You know, like this course. If I'm promoting a course and I know that a bunch of my followers on my profile are interested in writing or change or whatever, then I may promote it there. But I won't do it on a consistent basis because most of those people are just, there are a lot of family and friends there. Now, you can opt to share only with family and friends, right? But I just find that, it's kind of tedious.
Yeah.
So I just chose to move everything over to my page, and then I had to kind of drive everyone over there.
Got it.
Which is why I also recommend, which we'll also talk about next month, is that you start your Facebook, if you're going to get on Facebook, then do your profile and immediately set up a page. Because you want people going to that page. That's where you can promote your posts. That's where you can spend money to advertise on Facebook, and that's when people see what you've done on Facebook.
Yeah. Great. Thanks.
All right, it's 10 o'clock. As I said, since we did introductions, I'm willing to go 10, 15 minutes over the hour. I will normally keep to the hour so that I respect your time. But if anybody has more questions, since we did those introductions, I'm happy to stay on and answer a few more questions. If anyone needs to leave, I totally understand, and please don't feel like you have to stay. Are there any questions about the homework assignments or the webinar we did?
This is Ella.
Yes, Ella.
Quick question on the homework. The last in the action plan, it says, of the 7 challenges authors of change face, where could I locate these 7 challenges?
Oh, does it say that? Hold on, I'm going there. In week 1 or in week 2?
Yeah. This is the homework that was due today.
Does it say week one or does it say week two at the top?
Let's go. I'm gonna scroll up to the top 1 second.
Yeah, I'm scrolling down.
Act week plan number one.
Okay, hold on. So that shouldn't be there any longer. I'm trying. That was in the act plan.
Yes, number one week.
Why do I not see that there? I see list 1 to 3 inspired action steps.
Nina, it appears. I'm sorry. This is Jacqueline. I just wanted to help because I had the same problem that she did. It appears that it's two different documents that are very, very similar but slightly different. And I was thinking the same thing. Where are the 7 challenges?
So
and
there
then,
are two documents. Hold on. There are two documents that say week one in there? Oh, I know what happened. I bet my developer, she left the old one in there. Please go in and see if you see one. Okay, so I did this program 5 years ago with someone else as a co-presenter. That was her material, and it's been deleted because it was her material. And I totally rewrote and redid these. So, yes, some of it's similar. I mean, a lot of it is the same, and a lot of it's different. So, anyway, it should be the one you want has the logo with the book with the flame in the middle and the blue ball behind it.
Yes. Yeah.
That is the one that you should be using. I apologize. I will make sure that there's only one in there from now on.
That's okay, because, see, I had printed out both of them. This is Jacqueline. I had printed out both of them, and I was kind of confused myself. So that's why I didn't write anything down, because I couldn't figure out. I said to myself, I'm missing something, but I didn't know what.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that I apologize for that. I didn't know that they were both in there. For week two, is there only one in there, or are there two in there? Is anybody online and can look?
Oh, I'm not online.
I could log in and look if you want.
That would be awesome, because I don't see it the same way you do.
Yeah.
And I apologize for the confusion.
Oh, you don't have to keep apologizing, but I couldn't do the homework because I was kind of confused.
It was all clear to me. I just did both.
You did both? Oh, wait, say that again. I'm sorry.
I saw there was a slight variation, but it was all doable, and I just made up 3 hurdles of my own out of the 7.
Okay. Well, it's good for you. That's very very ambitious of you, so I appreciate that. But that was my mistake, so we'll get that fixed. So when you go, is it only the 1 week? Did anybody go in and see? Is there only 1 week where that's the problem?
In.
Sorry, say that again.
I'm just logging in.
Okay. Maybe I can get in there too. Hold on. I don't seem to be able to get in there. Right now.
Is our username or email? This isn't letting me in.
You should have an email. You should have your email address and then your login password.
Okay.
Yeah, I can't seem to get in either because I seem to have this problem a lot, but it's not worth getting into.
Okay, I'm in, so let's see. You need to come right in.
Yeah, I am emailed my developer already and told her to check. But
okay, so I'm in. So what's the question?
Are there two homework assignments in each of the first 2 weeks, or is there just one? I mean, there appears to be two, at least for week one.
Looks like there's just one.
On week two?
Yeah.
Okay, awesome. So it's just a problem with the first week. All right, we'll get that fixed. But definitely be using the one with the logo that you've seen on all the advertising, okay?
Oh, I guess it does look like, because one says Module 1-Week 2, Author of Change in Your Life, and then below it, it says Module 1, Week 2, and then below it, it says, I'm not really sure, Week 1.
Well, when you click through to the actual homework assignment, there should just be one. If there are two there, then there's a problem.
Okay. You want me to click in Module 1, Week 2?
Sure.
Yeah, there's two.
Okay. We'll get that fixed. When you open them, you should be able to open them, and one of them has the blue box with the pretty, you know, Author of Change Transformational Programs logo that has the purple book, the orange and yellow flame, and the blue ball behind it. That's the one you want to use.
Okay. Okay.
But I will have Ruth fix it today. Okay? I just emailed her. So it'll get fixed today so that there's no confusion.
Let me just see one thing that might be helpful for you.
Okay. While you're doing that, let me just ask, anyone else have a logistical question that I can answer for you? No? Everybody was good with the webinar and with the homework?
Well, I actually have a question.
Yep.
I was going to email you on the side maybe and ask you, but I'll just ask it because maybe it will help somebody else. But so you offer, you know, a lot of different things. You do like this program and you offer the blog coaching and like if we don't have, like I don't have a specific, you know, book in mind, and I thought, you know, like in some of your things it says, you know, like that's okay. It'll like, you know, reveal itself as you go.
Mm-hmm.
But is there a way to know whether it's better, you know, to utilize like your blog coaching or to do this change, this transformational change program? Because on your blog, when I read it, or when I saw it on Pinterest, you know, when you asked those questions and it said if you answer yes to any of these questions, I mean, I answered yes to all of them.
Yeah. So Petra, I think this program will give you clarity.
Okay.
That's what I think. I mean, I have
okay.
other things. The career planning that Jacqueline did would
mm-hmm.
probably be helpful as well because we
okay.
brainstorm a lot of we go through your values, your passion, your purpose, the topics you might want to write about, and then we begin to brainstorm potential books. And from there, we go into the themes in your writing in order to develop a website with a tagline and a blog plan, and then we get into promotion and all that stuff, and we sync everything up.
Okay.
But in this program, since you definitely are somebody who wants to inspire change, what will happen is you're going to go through this first part, which is all about, you know, how change happens and how you need to change in order to inspire change in others.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second part is all about the platform building and community building, the blogging, all of that. And I think if you're approaching all of that with what do I really want to accomplish? What is my message? So like this past week's homework about your message, right? If you begin really working on that and honing it and answering the questions about your audience, you're going to begin to get clarity on what it is you want to write about. By the time we get to the third month, the first module in the first month is about writing a marketable book. And we will be talking about what I used to call my proposal process. Now I call it the author training process. And that's going to, you know, you're gonna start to formulate a book idea. So I don't think it matters that you don't have a book idea right now that's specific.
Okay.
I think by the time you get there and I start saying create a pitch for the book, create a table of contents for the book, you know, that's when you're going to be able to start building out that idea. So I don't think this is a problem for you.
Okay. Hooray.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. Any other questions about the homework or the webinar last week?
So just to be clear then on the homework, so after, like, we meet with you, then it's posted on the website, we'll just log in and it'll be there?
Yes. And I'll try to send out a reminder, you know, or a notice just saying, hey, your homework is now available. Okay?
Cool. Yeah, that would be great.
But you can assume that, you know, between Monday and Wednesday of every week, your homework is going to show up there.
Okay.
So it will be there no later than Wednesday because it's meant, you know, we started on a Wednesday, so it's meant for you to have a week to do it. And they're not short homework assignments. Now, you know, you can choose, I mean, there's a list of books. You don't have to read those books, obviously. Mm-hmm. They're just suggestions. It's things you might want to read. We don't expect you to read them in a week. But the questions, the journaling exercises, things like that, it's going to take you a little bit of time. This is not a, not a sort of perfunctory course where you just show up for the stuff and never do anything else.
Right.
That said, it's up to you how much of it you do, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you might fall behind and, you know, you're just catching up after the course is over. That's okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as long as you're showing up for coaching and the webinars and doing as much as you can, it's great. But the homework is intended to be there so that you have it every week.
Okay. Yes.
Awesome. Other questions? Okay. All right. I will get the homework thing handled. Ruth is asking me questions about it already. If nobody else has another question, we will call it a day. I do suggest that I know some of you didn't know where to find the homework and that kind of thing. So, you know, in 2 weeks when we have another coaching session, you know, try to get as much done so you can bring me your questions about clarity, I think it was Ella had about the talking points, or maybe it was Petra, whoever it was who had the questions about the talking points. You know, those are great questions so that we can elaborate, okay?
Sure.
But
yeah.
Should you have questions between now and the next coaching session, ask them on the Facebook page, because then everybody who's on the Facebook page gets to benefit from them. And there are some people who took the program with me 5 years ago who are there, and some have taken I used to offer it as a home study program. So everybody benefits from your questions when I answer them, okay?
Uh-huh.
So please do use the Facebook page.
Yeah.
And if you're not on Facebook and you really don't want to be on Facebook, I encourage you to think about being on Facebook, because when we get to the platform and promotion module, we'll be talking about the need to be on social media. But if, you know, you're really, really opposed to it, then email me your questions, and I will answer them via email, and then I will post them on the Facebook page, okay?
Mm-hmm. And then that link for the Facebook page is in one of your earlier emails.
It is. I will send it out again with what do I have here? I'm going to send you the login information and the reminder about the homework, and I will send the Facebook page link again as well.
Awesome.
Okay?
Yep. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. Any other questions?
Thank you.
Nope, we're all good?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I really appreciate all of you. I appreciate the questions. I hope you found the coaching session helpful. You know, you can always send me any, if you can't make a call, please send me an email, either put it on the Facebook page send a question, either put it on the Facebook page or send it to me by email, and I will then make sure I answer it, and you can always listen to the recording. Okay, so don't ever feel like you can't ask your questions during coaching. But I hope you found this useful. I think we covered a lot of really great topics. Some of them were in advance of where we are, but like I said, it doesn't matter. Everything is fair game, and I hope you all got a lot out of this. And I really appreciate you being in the course. I'm so excited to teach this course again and to have you in the program. So with all that said, we'll call it a day. and go out there, achieve more inspired results, and I look forward to seeing you all on the Facebook page and at the webinar next week.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. Thank you. Take care, everyone. Bye.
Bye.
You too. Bye-bye.